This week on Pennant Deep, Kentucky has wrapped up a big win against Missouri in week two. Max and Miles are back in Lexington atop of Cavassier Smoke Bar and Grill. Pennant Deep goes tailgating. We have a great interview with Will Levis. But before we get into all of that, we would like to ask you guys to donate to Chris Oates' GoFundMe at oats22strong.com. All the proceeds will help Chris and his family with the medical expenses and everything from the stroke he had back in May of 2020. It would be great for the BBN to show out for this cause, especially since Chris Oates is a beloved member of the Kentucky football team, and we would do anything to support him. But as always, we've got a great show for you guys. Man of the Week is back. Like I said, Will Levis absolutely crushed it this week, and he crushes it on Pennant Deep. As always, don't forget to like, subscribe, download, comment, leave a review, comment away. And of course, retweet the Pennant Deep podcast at Pennant Deep KSR. Retweet the episode for your chance to enter to win a signed ball by all the guests of Pennant Deep this football season. Let's get into it. Live from KS Bar and Grill, introducing Pennant Deep with Max Duffy and Miles Butler, presented by Kentucky Sports Radio. Welcome into another episode of Pennant Deep. Kentucky, fresh off a 35-28 victory against Missouri. Honestly, we have a lot of takes that need to be talked about, but I'm in here again atop of Cavassier Smoke Bar and Grill. I'm obviously Brent Wainscott. In here, obviously, former Ray Guy Award winner Max Duffy.
Yo.
And, I thought you said no.
Yo.
Okay. He won it. I was there to see. He was definitely there to win it.
Before we introduce Miles.
I was going to say,
Miles.
Because Miles is irrelevant at the moment because people aren't really caring about him too much. He's getting a lot of hate, so I'm all for that. My favorite thing about doing podcasts is saying test, test, test when we put these headphones on. I just think that's such a funny thing.
I've noticed that you do that too. Like, I put it on and like we could just be chilling and you're just like test, test, test.
Well, like, and we already know that it's fine and you'd want to do it again. It's like you have like,
well, we don't know that it's fine because like we've said a time or two there could be a full blown Royal Rumble downstairs.
That's why you test.
That is why you test. But anyways, we are in here after a Kentucky football victory. They moved to 2-0 after beating Missouri 35-28. We're going to have Will Levis on later in the show.
Awesome.
Great interview. And we've also got a lot to talk about, especially a lot of positive on the Kentucky side for offense. But, you know, Max, this is your first game at Kroger Field as a fan. How was that for you? And what were your takeaways from the game?
Well, I guess I didn't have the usual fan experience. I was lucky enough to be put into a suite with free beverages and food, so I can't speak. Yeah, I wasn't among the common man, which I would have liked to be, but you're never going to knock off the opportunity to be able to view the game in that way. But, yeah, it was kind of weird. It was really strange to have to watch it from the stands and not be a part of it and really miss, like, running out in front of people, the run out the start of the game.
Which, by the way, the atmosphere was great.
Awesome. It was strange. Not being able to be part of that huddle and, like, the tense excitement that you feel as a player before the game is probably the main part that I miss, is just, like, that feeling of not knowing what's about to happen and then being part of the decision-making down on the field, even though punt was a small part, just being part of that, like, we have to make decisions under pressure type stuff.
But as a fan, did you – because I get this way – did you – get a sense of nervousness too, or was it just like, you know what, like, these, I know these dudes, like, they're just gonna go play ball?
I guess I probably was nervous, but it just wasn't the same feeling as when you're playing the game, you know what I mean? Like, you've got no say in it. So for me, it was strange, and I was definitely like just hoping we would win with everything in my heart, and that was a kind of a weird feeling because I felt like when I was on the field I had a bit of a say in it. But just not being able to control any of it was such a weird feeling.
I agree with that, which I've kind of had the feeling last year already with no fans in the stands. But just watching games, it was weird going from kind of having to halfway focus on the game on your part, but also cheering the team on versus, you know, not having to worry about doing any part.
That's one of the weirdest things, and you would agree with me, is like when you're actually playing, there's a lot that goes into it in terms of warming up, having discussions with coaches, talking to guys on the sideline about certain things that you'd like to adjust that – to be honest, like, you don't really get to watch a whole lot of the game. Like, it's like, okay, defense is on the field. I'm sweet for a while. I'm going to go have this conversation with this person, this person, this person. And then you kind of just, like, every now and then you're going to turn around and be like, okay, it's third down. Like, maybe we're going to get the ball back. You know what I mean?
Well, it's kind of funny you even mentioned that, because last night, you know, I even looked at Eli. I talked to him about the game a little bit. And I was like, hey, what, like, you know, this guy over here. And after I asked it, even then, I was just like, such a stupid question. Because as a fan, you see everything. And you're like, you know, this happened here. But as a player, it's just like you're locked in on that one assignment. And that works. So I think that is an interesting change for you guys and an interesting perspective. But, of course, you know, let's talk about the reason why we were there. All three of us were there. Kentucky wins 35-28. Offense looked good. A lot of running the ball. I know that, you know, I don't want to say it was a regression back to the last few years, because even though Kentucky pounded, it worked. And there was never a time where – Kentucky got in a situation where you thought they couldn't convert.
Yeah, one great thing that I think this offense is allowing us to do is we at least have the threat of passing now. And whether we do that or not really doesn't – I don't think it worries the fans if we do, because our offense was productive. I mean, if Chris doesn't fumble those two balls, we score, what, 49 points? Plus we had the intercept, which really was – it's to and fro whose fault it was. We were driving then too. Maybe we put up 56 points, you know what I mean? So if our one word is still running the ball and doing it really successfully, I don't think anyone cares. But it's just being able to create that space now with the threat of passing.
And I think that's something we all kind of took away from this too, is like, yeah, Kentucky won. They won by 7. They covered. Thank God.
For who?
Kentucky covered.
I know. I'm just saying, just for anyone that may have...
For anyone, yeah.
For anyone that could have possibly wagered on him, not us.
Specifically me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not you guys. Specifically me.
I wouldn't do that.
3 for 3 on the weekend, by the way.
Ooh,
I'm happy with it.
Nice. Nice flex.
Yes, very much so. Anyways, but that's the thing we all kind of talked about after the game, was like, Kentucky, it didn't even look like they played well, but they still dominated.
Agreed. So that's we kind of talked about. So I think Coach Stoops in a press conference maybe Mondays this week talked about just, you know, every week you're not going to play your best. I don't think anyone could expect that. But finding ways to win when you don't play your best is so important, because so many teams find ways to lose games. I thought last night, as good as Kentucky's offense looked, the defense at times kind of gave up on them a little bit and kind of leaked some points. But finding a way to win, even though you had the turnovers that you probably shouldn't have had and some of the defensive miscues, I think finding a way to get out of there with a win with a scrappy Missouri team was important.
Yeah, I mean, we're obviously always pro-Kentucky on this podcast. But I got to admit, my hot take from the first week,
unfortunately,
it turned out to be true, which was struggled a little bit with the depth on the D-line. So hopefully, and as we know, Mark Stoops' defense generally does improve throughout the year. We generally get better as time goes, so I'm sure they'll sort that out. But that does look like a little bit of a worry. And I thought as well, just Coach Drinkwitz, who I highly respect as a coach, just his ability to pick apart a little bit our defense and really find those holes was a big credit to him and why they were able to score so many points. But again, we had them on the ropes. We were about to knock them out, and just those two Chris unfortunate fumbles. We obviously love Chris on this pod, but those two were kind of the one where we should have put them away, and we just let them hang around.
The block kicked as well.
Yep.
The block kicked hard late. So I was sitting in the stands with Mason Wolf, former O-lineman, friend of ours, and we were watching as Missouri would drive. There would be times where, like, normally, I mean, the fans would get this, but the whole offensive coaching staff and all the potential subs are in one spot on the sideline, just in case whoever needs to go in, everybody's in the same spot. Coach Drinkwitz calls Missouri's plays. He would be on the opposite end with no one around him, squatting, just watching the game like you thought he was maybe the backup kicker
effectively, or something. He's effectively known as the nerd to his players.
He looks like a middle school math teacher, which if you are
inside
one of those,
information from Grant McInnes. Yeah, literally the guys call him the nerd.
Because he just sits at the end all by himself, and you're like, what's that guy doing? And all of a sudden somebody's halfway wide open for a touchdown, and he just pumps his fist like he's just conquered
the
world.
Well, you talked about the field goal, Brent. One of Mark Stoops' favorite quotes, and Miles, you'd know this, particularly normally on a Friday, but also on the Monday when he brings up like something, a learning curve, a learning moment from normally a different game, is you never know which one player is going to change the game. And I felt like there was moments in in last night's game where it almost did change it for the negative. Obviously, the field goal and then the two fumbles. You never know which one's going to change that game, and that's why it's so important for us just to clean up some of those things.
Well, I think that that's another big takeaway as well is I think that's the next step for Kentucky. Obviously, we want to beat Georgia. We want to consistently make maybe split games with Florida. Like, it's hard to forget we've only beat them once. And that's something they can do, but I think – you know, in the early stages for Mark Stoops, the first thing was, let's win games. Then it was, okay, learning how to not lose games. Because that's something Stoops did early.
Can't beat anyone until you stop beating yourself.
We joke about that, but sincerely.
So true.
So now I think the next step for Kentucky is to start making these separations with Missouri's. And don't get me wrong, Missouri's no slouch. But and we talked about this before the game. Like, it felt weird. But Kentucky, as five-point favorites against Missouri, felt like the biggest lock. Because and even watching the game, it felt like Kentucky was three possessions better than Missouri.
And we don't want to get too much into the X's and O's and talk about the game too much because, obviously, you know, we want to get to the Will stuff. But how cool is it? Like, we should have put up 49 points in an SEC game against quality points. Like, how cool is that now we get to watch games and every week, like, we feel like we're Bama almost. Like, hey, we're going to score. Like, we don't need to, like, grind out that 21-14 win or 10-7. Like, now we're, like, putting up points. And we could literally go in shootouts with people. Like, there doesn't have to be – we hope our defense obviously improves, but we don't even need to rely on them anymore. Like, we're putting up enough points to beat anyone.
Yeah, 100%. And just looking around the SEC, too, I mean, Texas A&M, 10 points against – who they played?
Colorado
State.
10-7. I think it was 10-7 final.
10-7. LSU struggling against these teams.
Yeah, they look horrible.
You think the Colorado – like, I think the game was on the road, right? Was there any – I don't know, circumstances in Colorado that could have thrown A&M off? Maybe some things that are legalized there. But I'm talking about gambling, not anything else.
Well, I don't know. It is pretty hard in Texas. You know, not a lot of stuff gets done there. So yeah, you know what? You might be right there. Jimbo's getting his guys ready. But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, you look around the SEC – everyone was scoring at a high efficient rate last year, and really the only teams that are still doing that now are Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama, and it's weird to say it, but Kentucky.
I thought for a second that he was going to roll off about seven teams because he started off so fast. I was like, Florida, Alabama, Ole Miss,
half
Georgia.
SEC.
Yeah, it's like they're the only teams.
Yeah, I mean, and Georgia hung up points yesterday, but backup quarterback against UAB, I mean, you're not going to get much off of that, so – I think Kentucky, just looking around the SEC and the way the offense has played, 2 weeks to prepare for the gauntlet against on the road at South Carolina and Chattanooga, I think Kentucky's in a great position to really, really make some noise. And they'll probably be ranked by the time this podcast comes out. I'll be shocked if they aren't.
Let's hope so. We had some fun pregame, though, didn't we?
We did have some fun pregame. I do want to say this, though. I know we talked about in the second episode the disrespect Miles has gotten, and that was just absolutely continued. And I don't expect anyone to recognize me. I know I have a heavenly voice and an even better face, but, you know, we walked through the entire tailgate. We walked around the orange lot a lot.
Feel free, by the way, next Saturday when we walk through for the Chattanooga game or pre-Florida game to just yell at us because that's all we copped yesterday. We would like that to continue. Just yell out whatever comes into your head when we walk past.
Well, we had a guy yell at us with a megaphone yesterday.
We did.
That was one of the funnier guys we saw, I think.
We did. But that's the thing. All three of us were walking around the whole time. Max! 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 So just the disrespect that Miles and I got – absolutely crazy.
And
granted, we don't have any Ray Guy awards.
To all the females that were yelling my name, I'll get around to messaging you guys eventually, but just give me some time, okay?
So I think that's what we talked about, though. Like, we'll reach the pinnacle of this podcast when people just start calling us out, like, and not even noticing Max.
Okay, we've got some hot takes as well, really, really fast. And me and Miles are going to jump on this. The gate.
Oh, the gate.
What do you think, Miles?
Okay.
Big whiff.
For a background story for the fans listening, with COVID last year, I never got to go to a tailgate. Obviously not before then either. Max, this was his first tailgate experience.
Yep.
Gate reached out to us.
Yep.
We appreciate them listening and hope that we can meet them.
We are still trying to get there, by the way.
We still want to meet them. But
very badly.
We
struggled.
We got feedback of some colored lot that they were in. We had no idea where we were going, which, granted, we probably should have double-checked what the color lots were before we went. We were completely unfamiliar, but just wandered around like maybe lost in the desert for 40 years or something.
Dude, to the fans, we apologize because me being the dumbass that I am, I thought, like, okay, let's say orange lot, purple lot, whatever. Like, that's going to be a lot that might be, you know, 15 yards by 15 yards. Like, we'll know exactly where they are. I didn't realize how many people tailgate and turn up to our games. Like, obviously, you see them in the stadium, but you don't realize how vast that is outside the stadium. And we were like, okay, orange lot, let's go there. So we go to the orange lot. And like you said, we just wandered around.
Thousands of people.
And you just wander around. It's like you need a big sign on your tailgate, like saying, this is the tailgate where we told Max and Miles to come to.
I really hope when we actually find the gate that they've got like a huge Hollywood sign that says the gate and we just missed it.
What if it was under our nose the whole time? We just absolutely missed it.
So to people that want us to come to the tailgate, we're happy to and we love doing that. Just give us a little bit better directions or drop a pin or something.
I want to say, though, the gate did pretty well with directions. I just don't think we had the right wherewithal in the moment.
Yeah, we're not great with directions.
But we did make it to one tailgate before Max had to go in for pregame. Todd Harris, I believe is his name, from the Blue Lot.
Yep, awesome.
And live music.
Yep.
Like three tenths. Dude had the setup going. So we really wanted to shout him out. That was an absolute blast.
My two favorites besides that were the dude that we walked past that was watching Kentucky Downs.
Yep.
Like, so that everyone's watching football, you walk past and the dude had the – which I'm all for, by the way. Had the form out and was just going Kentucky Downs. I gave him a couple of tips. I apologize to that guy if you're listening. They were both terrible. Both didn't come in the top three. And then my other favorite. And I'm not sure how what the BAC, blood alcohol content, of these people were at the time when we walked past them. But I'm pretty sure it was high because we walked past and they were watching some sort of like David Attenborough whale documentary.
Planet Earth.
During a football tailgate.
They were very confused. They were, oh.
Maybe they were ready for their Colorado game.
What was going on?
Well, yeah. My personal favorite was, as lost as we were looking for the gate, we saw two people even more lost as we go through the tailgates, tents everywhere. Two yellow shirts.
Like fully decked
gold,
out.
Gold. Yep. And I was like, oh, another couple Missouri fans. No. Iowa.
Yep.
And I think the game was at Iowa State yesterday.
It was not in Kentucky.
It sure wasn't in Lexington. Yeah. So I don't know where they were. We both, Max and I, like, what is going
on?
They sat down
and the teams ran out and they're like, hold on a second. We're in the right place.
Let's think about it. Mark Stoops did play at Iowa. Maybe they just really like Iowa and they're just going to support.
Big Mark Stoops fan.
I could see it because we passed them. They were wandering around. We laughed at them. And then we come
back. In their face, by the way. Just pointed at them.
We come back for a second round. They had made their way to a table and were eating food, just looking around like they knew where they were at.
But, yes, to continue on with that, if you guys want us to head out to your tailgate, if you want us to have a couple of beers or play some, cornhole with you guys, we're more than happy to. But just give us some better locations because I'm looking forward to the stories that we get from the tailgating before the game.
Should we throw out the caveat, though, at your tailgate that if Max is there, you can't have buffalo chicken dip?
Yeah, correct.
I found this out last night and was absolutely perplexed.
Worst food in the world.
So Max, being from Australia, looked at us and said, I don't know how you Americans do it. Buffalo chicken dip is the worst thing on the planet.
I mean, it's probably the number one game day food for me.
And it's so good.
Wings, which those kind of go together, I guess. Burgers is easy.
So you know what? Let's do it. I'm throwing down the gauntlet right now.
Okay.
I want someone to show Max the best buffalo chicken dip at a tailgate.
That's a good one. Actually, I'll be prepared to try it, but I'm not going to say that I'm going to say good things about it. One funny thing as well before we move on is, and I don't know if you thought this was hilarious, Miles, but we're walking around, and I would say of the three of us, Brent's probably the larger of the three. No offense, Brent.
That's all good.
We were going to a guy's tailgate, and the whole reason why Brent wanted to go, and he brought it up at least five or six times, was, I really like to try those wings. Yeah, he talked about the wings. I'd really like to try the wings. And we were standing around and we're having a beer at a different tailgate. And he was like, I'd really just like to get there because he talked about those wings. Like, I'd really like to try those wings. Like, hey, dude, I don't know how hard you're getting thinking about these wings, but let's just relax a little.
I was so hungry. I had.
And then we got there. You didn't even try the wings.
He didn't offer him.
That was the best part of the story was. So Max is, we're obviously friends with Grant McInnes, and Max got into the game early to go visit him. So Max left the tailgate that we were at for the wings early, Brent and I stuck around for a little bit, talked a bit, and then left. And he kind of had like a grimace on the way out, and he was like, I didn't get those wings. Didn't even offer them.
Listen, all the waste. They're like of the like pillars of the things Brent Wainscott cares about in life. It's obviously like family, Kentucky football, and like chicken wings is up there.
Yeah, so,
so I could have had all three in one day, but I fell a pillar short.
So, while you're making me try your buffalo chicken dip, make sure you get some wings on the side for Brent. Otherwise, he's not going to be happy, and you'll get a bad tailgate rating.
I'll be happy. Like it doesn't have to be. Never mind. But like it would have been. Those wings would have been clutch on Saturday because it was a long, long day.
Can we do like the – Dave Portnoy does the pizza reviews. We could do like a Saturday and have you do reviews of all the buffalo chicken dip you'd have. Now, maybe
– They would all score like threes.
Yeah, you'd throw up by the end of the day from all of it, but it could be a good –
If you get above a three, well done.
Congrats. Well, what we should do is we should all try the buffalo chicken dip and average it out because we're going to give it like sevens,
eights,
nines,
tens.
And – Yeah, Max will even it out. Yeah. But.
So what's up the gate? The challenge has been thrown down, which, by the way, we looked at the gate's Twitter, obviously when they shouted us out, and there's a video on there that everyone should check out of Mark Stoops shouting them out and saying thank you for all the support. Two funny, hilarious things about it, and I've already said it a couple of times, but one, the dude that was counting down Mark Stoops to start his speech, he says one go at the very start, which is hilarious. Like, edit it properly. And then two,
that's one of Mark Stoops didn't going, do it himself.
What's up the gate?
The gate.
The gate.
What's up the gate?
Let's get to Will. We're going to get to Will soon, but I do just want to say we do appreciate everyone reaching out, wanting us to come by. The atmosphere was great. It's only going to get better for the LSU games, the Florida games, and certainly the Tennessee game.
Look forward to seeing you.
We look forward to seeing you all, and we just appreciate the support. And it was really uplifting for us as well to finally go out and meet some of the pinheads, and that was really cool. And I think I speak for all of us on that. But that was our Saturday. Let's talk to the man of the hour. Let's talk about how his Saturday
Sling
went.
Sling machine.
How his Saturday went. The banana eating maniac, Will Levis. All right, joining us now on Pin It Deep, we are pleased to have the man himself, QB1, 2-0 as a starter at Kentucky last night, went 10 for 18, about 180 yards, ran for 25 yards, ran for a touchdown. Will Levis, joining the show. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
How excited are you out of 10 to be on this show?
I'm
don't say below 10.
I was going to say like a 9. Like,
oh,
I mean,
man.
Dude, come on.
I'm pretty excited. Pretty excited. 10 would be overdoing it, though.
How was last night? How'd you find it? Give us a little recap of the game.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, obviously the atmosphere was really electric. The night game, I think there was a lot of hype behind the game. So going out there on the catwalk, we could just tell right away that the fans really came out to show for the game. And there was energy all throughout the night for the most part.
How'd you find the catwalk? Because that's it's obviously everyone kind of does their own walk. That would have been the first time you did it with a really big crowd. How was that?
It's cool. It's similar to what we did at Penn State. It's kind of the same thing. Get off the bus. All the fans are waiting for you. So I think everyone kind of has their own version of it. But I think being like the starting quarterback. Just like
a few people just randomly calling out your name.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely
Hopefully more girls than guys.
Yeah. I don't know. There were some older dudes trying to throw bananas at me and stuff. That was kind of weird. But
I saw just quickly, we're going to ask you that a little bit later, but did you get a laugh out of the guys that apparently turned up to the ULM game in the banana suits?
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
And then I saw the banana inflatable balloon in the stands yesterday being thrown around. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Miles.
But, yeah, the catwalk was cool, and it's a cool way to kind of start the day.
No doubt.
Cool. So, Will, you talked about that it was similar to Penn State. What kind of got you from Penn State to Kentucky?
So, it was just the process of me trying to figure out if I wanted to transfer. It was a tough decision.
Right.
And then with the deal of being a graduate transfer, you have immediate eligibility regardless. I know that with COVID, they've been a lot more lenient with kind of letting kids being able to play right away. Anyways, but kind of started it like maybe a semester before I actually did it, where I thought that it was it might be a decision that I wanted to make, knowing that I was on track to graduate that next semester. If I was going to do it, then would be the time. So went back and forth with my parents and talked to the coaches, tried to get as many honest answers as I could there, and ultimately just came down to the decision that it would be in my best interest for my ultimate goals and future to explore options elsewhere. And then Kentucky approached me soon after, and then the opportunity didn't seem like it could get much better, and I jumped at it pretty soon. So
how many other schools hit you up when you were in the transfer portal?
A few. I mean, Kentucky was one of the first, and then once they did, the other schools that would kind of reach out, and I knew that they weren't on the level that Kentucky was, I kind of was just like, hey, like.
So like Louisville?
Louisville did not reach out to me.
Well, I bet they're hurting right there.
Yeah, typical Louisville.
They are hurting there, that's for sure.
Yeah, but Kentucky, I connected with them right away. Coach Stoops, Coach Cohen, really liked the vision they had for the program. Obviously, the offense I knew fit my strong my skill set, and it just seemed like I couldn't get much better than that. And
how much of us kicking your ass in the Citrus Bowl led to that?
It definitely made me take them more seriously. You know, like I think. These past few years, maybe like the years before that Citrus Bowl, when wouldn't have thought Kentucky as much of as a football school, and then obviously saw it firsthand that year. That was my freshman year, so you guys had a hell of a team that year, and it's just kind of funny how things come full circle. People ask me about that game all the time, and it's funny to kind of reflect on it and be on both sides of it.
I was okay, about to say, so in that locker room, though, like you kind of mentioned it. Was everyone just like, I mean, we're just playing Kentucky, I mean, or was that really the first wake-up call?
No, I'll be really honest here. Like, we knew that they were a good team. I mean, you watched the film. It was pretty obvious that these guys were going to come to play. Obviously, I didn't watch any of the offensive film that much.
We didn't watch too much special teams?
Did not watch too much special teams, that's for sure. I knew we had a Ray Guy
Not yet. Not by that stage.
I thought it was that year, right?
The next year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So probably should have won it that
shows
year.
Shows how much he cares about you, Max. He does not watch a lot of punter.
Yeah, but obviously just watch the defense, and I mean – you guys had Josh Allen. I mean, that's all you really got to say there. But solid in the secondary as well. You guys were long in the secondary, if I remember correctly. You guys had some long DBs, and we were able to make plays on the ball. And, just solid all around.
Okay.
Obviously,
got a question for you and an interesting story. And I don't know if you remember. I may have talked to you about this before we've been on. I can't remember. So, Citrus Bowl game, warm-up.
Oh,
okay, so, yeah. All right, so for everyone listening, so we're out there warming up, and what happens with Kentucky's warm-up is the specialists generally get out there earlier than everyone else. So we kind of warm up, then everyone else comes out and they warm up. If you've ever been to a game and got in early, you'd see that. Penn State warmed up a lot earlier than what we did with their entire team. So we go out there, you know, I'm warming up, punting and stuff, and a long snapper snapping to me, and they decide to start running their routes through our snapping line. And when you do a warm-up, you're allowed back to the 35 until the 60 on a certain side. So they get their Penn State side back to the 35. We get our Kentucky side back to the 35. Anyway, Tristan Ayomans, our long snapper, is snapping to me, and Will, you can just clarify this story at any stage. Their wide receivers decide to just run routes through our snapping line. Well, anyway, our coach, obviously, nicely, as he would do, went up to their coach and said, hey, could you please stop running through our snapping line, very nicely. And he basically told him where to go. So our coach began to yell at him a lot. And then he said, if any of those wide receivers run through, kick them as hard as you possibly can. So we kept going, and I was like, dude, let's not get too carried away here. Like, it's fine, it's fine. We can work around this. Our coach said, like, boot it. Anyway, I believe it's – who's the quarterback right now at Penn State?
Clifford, Sean, right? Clifford, yeah.
So Clifford decides to get involved and come over and be lippy, and he's saying shit to us, and we're like, dude, we're just trying to punt. Like, just leave us alone. So Clifford sticks his foot out and tries to kick one of the balls at Tristan Snapp. So I walked at him. I booted it as hard as I could at his head. I missed him by about an inch. I wish I had hit him. And I said, with a few expletives, do that again and see where you beat that out. See where your head ends up next time. And he thought that was, you know, a little bit rude of me. So he came at me, and then I swear everyone saw it, and the whole Penn State sideline and players were right face-to-face with me. I'm 6 foot, 180 pounds. Tristan's 6'1", maybe 180 pounds. Miles is 5'1", 135 pounds. And we somehow beat the whole Penn State team. Oh, and they backed away. Didn't want any part of it. True or not true?
So true up until that little last part there. But it was a lot of fun. There was one group going one way, one group going the other. So I was a little far away from it, seeing it all happen. But I saw it from a distance. And there was a little bit of chippiness for sure.
I like
and,
you saying you're not involved. I like that. Yeah. You're kind of on the outskirts. Yeah. Imagine Coach Stoops then, like, surely somebody came to him in the locker room and said, Coach, we've got an issue on the field. There's a brawl starting. He's like, who's doing it? Thinking it would probably be, you know, one of the starters. Or, well, we'll get started. But, like, as in a normal player. And he's like, no, if it's Max Miles, the snapper. It's, well, it's the smallest guys.
The funniest thing was as well, Will, when we heard that we were going to get a Penn State transfer, we immediately thought it was going to be the dude that sucked his foot out. And we're like, this is not going to work well. This is not going to work well.
Well, let's – you know, you mentioned the coaches talking to each other. You've been in both locker rooms with James Franklin and Mark Stoops. And they don't really say it, but we can kind of tell there's a bit of a beef there. What's the difference between playing under Franklin and Stoops, and as players, a player who's played for both, do you have it in the back of your mind that, like, hey, these dudes really just don't like each other?
Honestly, that's the first time I've heard that. I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know that there was that.
Did you not notice the bring it on asshole at the Citrus Bowl after you all ran the fake and failed?
And he's saying we're the real blue and white.
I think I might have heard it in passing, like someone saying it, but I didn't know that there was like a legitimate thing going on. But I mean, both of them are great coaches. I got utmost respect for Coach Franklin. I mean, he's a big reason as to why I'm the player I am today. He was a big part of my development. But they are a little different, just how they're wired and just how they approach things. I think Coach Franklin's a little more kind of like emotional with his guys, but like Coach Stoops at the same time is like a player's coach, and he'll let you know every day that he respects you, and his whole thing is about respect. If you respect him, he'll respect you back, and he definitely shows that. And I think that's why he gets his guys to play so hard for him, because the players really do understand that. And I just think that both of them are so good at getting their teams to really buy in and play for them, but just doing it different ways. And,
With that, Will, as well, I want to ask you your perception. So I remember when we were at the Citrus Bowl, we had to go to like an amusement park, and we got paired up with a person. Firstly, who'd you get paired up with? Do you remember?
DB from Tampa. I forget.
Mike Edwards? He plays at Tampa now? Or?
No, he's from Tampa.
Okay, no clue.
Yeah, sure.
So when we were talking to the guys, obviously, like, you get to know the other guy that you were paired up with a little bit. We had, like, more leniency with our curfews than you guys did.
Yep.
And so I find, like, my favorite thing about Coach Stoops is how much time off he gives us, how respectful of our time he has. And obviously, you know, as much as some people would be like, oh, well, they, you know, got to stay out till 1 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
This isn't going to work for a game. We obviously ended up winning.
Yeah.
So both sides work. How have you found that with Coach Stoops so far, with how great he is with your time?
I think it was very telling with camp this past summer. There's, I think, a lot of times at Penn State, and I think a lot of college football players would agree that, yeah, you mean you want to spend a lot of time during camp and you want to make sure you have everything down. But at it gets to a point where it's kind of just like draining and like not even productive at that point. With just like the constant walkthroughs, the constant meetings. It's just like kids get to the point where it's like, I just want to, like, I'm just looking forward to my day off.
I just want
to
live. Yeah.
I just want to look. Yeah. I want to get to my day off. It's like I want to get through this week. Get the most out of the day. And our schedule this year, I mean, we got to the point where we had practice in the mornings, and then we'd have three and a half hours off to just go home, take a nap, chill, come back, have a good meal, meetings, and it was definitely did not do as much as like I did when I was at Penn State at camp, but you could just tell that like the guys, like, it was there, no one was ever very drained, and the guys just came out every day really with a good mental attitude, just because they knew that Coach Stoops had that respect for their time and everything. And I think that's a good thing that he does.
Okay, so yesterday I was watching the Paul Feinbaum show, mm-hmm. and Matt Corral was on there, right?
Yep.
And tell me if your day is similar, but Paul Feinbaum said to him, what's the day of a typical SEC quarterback, right? And he's a weekday. And he said, well, I wake up at like 4:30 a.m., go in at 5 a.m., watch film till 7:30, have breakfast. We practice from 8 till 12, go home, get a quick nap in for an hour. At 2, I watch film again till 5:30, eat dinner, work out from 6 till 8, go home, probably try and get some time in to play maybe an hour of PlayStation or talk to my family, then I go to sleep, do it all again. Which I thought was interesting, because he basically admitted that he never does schoolwork, go to class, or do any exams.
That's not necessarily true. What if he studies cinematography? Watching film could be, maybe the morning is like the football, the afternoon is like his actual
class.
Degree.
Yeah. Do you go to class?
I do. I can confidently say that I haven't missed a lot of class in my college career. And but yeah, I'm in grad school now. Only have to take 9 credits, which is nice. So get a lot more time to focus on football.
What are you going to graduate in?
So I have my undergrad in finance from Penn State, and I'm getting my master's in finance here at Gatton.
Well, that gets to what of one of our Twitter questions asked. Do you have any stock advice?
Thank you, Mark Stoops-Burner, for that.
Thank you.
Buy high, sell low. But I've been doing some research on additive manufacturing, 3D printing stuff. I think that's going to be the future of the supply chain, and I think it's going to be a big shift here in the next decade or so. So looking into PRNT ETF.
Huge investment. Yeah,
just some other stocks that I've been keeping an eye on. But I mean, I have like a little portfolio, just kind of like not that much money, just kind of throw around and have fun with it. But hopefully, like when I get some more money, like with this NIL stuff, I'm able to.
Yeah.
When we get on there, we might have to get into this a little bit more.
Say, come to Pin It Deep for all your Mark Stoops stories and financial advice.
Yeah, we'll actually be coming to you Thursday with a Will Levis segment just on stock advice.
Absolutely.
Hey, before we get to some more personal questions and stuff, let's just touch on the game again real quick. Just for everyone, obviously, is really interested. In last night, big discrepancy between throwing it and running it.
Yeah.
Was that just one of those things where maybe that was the look they were giving us, or was that kind of the plan going in? What did you think about that?
It wasn't the plan, but it was – I mean, it wasn't the plan to run that much, but it's always just like how the feel of the game goes, and it got to the point where we could really do whatever we want with running the football. Sure, we got – I think that 1-3 and out were a couple incompletions, and we got stuffed at the line, but I think – what did we average per rush? Probably like 5, 6, 7 yards a rush. So,
Chris would have 5 touchdowns if he didn't throw a couple.
Yeah, and we would we were doing a lot with the run game that they just couldn't really handle. And if that's how the game goes, why would you pass it? You know, and we were able to pass it when we needed to, and we made some good conversions on times that we needed to. But as long as we're winning, whatever it takes, I'm going to do whatever it takes to just operate and get us to be as efficient as possible.
One of the highlights of the game for me, I believe it's like second down, you just straight up truck sticked a dude in the second quarter.
They're still trying to dig 25 out of the turf.
Oh, my God. You killed him. And so at the moment that you were like, yeah, I just killed this dude, or like what was that? And how did it feel to do that, to be like, hey, I'm a quarterback, and I just lowered my shoulder and just leveled you?
So that's something that I did a decent amount of at Penn State, and a lot of my role there was kind of just to go in and get short yard situations, drop my shoulder sometimes when need be. But that definitely felt really, really good.
That's right.
So they played a lot of man week one, and we were thinking that they were going to play as much man this week, but kind of in the back of my mind, I was like, I think they're going to drop out and play some zone. So a few of the times in the first couple of drives, they gave us man looks, and then on the snap of the ball, dropped out to either cover two or cover three. And when that happened, We thought it was man, so the route concepts we had called were good for man, not necessarily good for, say, cover two. So on that play, we had a shallow cross that can sit versus zone over the middle. We're waiting for him to sit over the ball. It kind of got a little too far away from me. Ended up sitting in front of the linebacker, so I was like, don't really have anywhere else to go. Let's take off and run. I knew the first down was close. I wanted to make sure I got to the first down, lowered the shoulder on number 25, their linebacker, is a pretty good player. And
can you tell us?
Yeah, really good tackler.
Can you tell us what you said afterwards?
I didn't say anything to him, but I just kind of laughed.
Did he say anything to you?
No, he definitely didn't.
He was buried in the turf. How's he going to get a word out?
Well, that's the thing. Well, obviously that play was a big one, I noticed as well. But there was a lot of times last night when you put your body on the line, diving out for it to get the first down multiple times, even on the last play of the game, extending it, trying to get the time under 40 seconds so the clock runs out. Where does that grit come from where you, as a quarterback, where most people shy away from contact, that you welcome it almost?
I think it's just I take a lot of pride in just, like, I don't know, like my fitness. Like, I lift to get stronger and get bigger. And, like, I wasn't that – like, I was decent size, decent speed when I got to college. But it's something that I really bought into when I got to Penn State and was putting up some big numbers in the weight room. I was like, why wouldn't I – not use this to my advantage if I can? And I mean, experimented with a little bit with how I ran the ball and learned how I can run the ball efficiently and get those extra yards. And it's just a part of my game that I can use, but I do have to be a little more kind of picky as to when to use it, because obviously there's going to be bigger dudes than me, and I don't really want to be lowering my shoulder on them.
My favorite thing about watching college football, and I love to be a part of it, is a couple of things. One, getting to clap as the quarterback is so awesome. And I always like go, if you stuffed up the clap, it would be so funny because it's like bad clap, whatever. So the cadence of the clap is huge.
Yeah.
Other thing, you get to do a cadence, which is really awesome. I would love to go out there and do a cadence. Other thing, last one, you get to kill and tap your helmet, right? Is that right? Is
yeah,
that
we, kill well, plate? We, like we kill, call kill? Them cans or just...
Okay, how fun is that? And do you ever just audible just because it's so fun to tap your helmet and look around and look like you're in charge of the process? Because I would do it all the time, regardless of if the play was on or not.
Yeah, as fun as it is, I really would rather not get ripped by the coach on the sideline. So try to make the right call. It is fun when I do have the look that I need to alert the other play. I definitely have fun with it for sure. So it's pretty cool.
I'd work on my clap in the morning. I'd stand in the mirror, dude, I'd get the clap.
When I'm watching color games, I literally clap along with them.
Oh, it's a funny story, so actually. I've never had a clap cadence, but I've heard stories. I think like my buddy was telling me when he visited Ohio State on like a recruiting visit, they spent like a good 5-10 minutes just the quarterback standing in a circle and just clapping, just practicing their cadence.
There's no way.
Yeah, so I mean, because it's got to be crisp. Yeah, because you're crisp, right. If you're in a in a loud environment and you get one of these, you're screwed.
It's actually funny because like we joke around about that, but Sawyer Smith's one of our good friends, and he was obviously quarterback in Kentucky for a little bit. And when we're watching games, especially on Sundays, like we always clap, and our claps are so bad compared to his. So like, I don't know if it's like it must be a thing you can work on.
Strong hands.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, keeping it inside the huddle as well. A two-part question for this one. First one, one of the big decisions last night that ultimately ended up not mattering was, I believe there's 2 minutes to go. You guys are on the 19-yard line, 4th and 1. What was that conversation like in the huddle? Obviously, as a quarterback, I'm sure you wanted to go for it, but the decision to kick it. What was that conversation like, and how did it land on the decision that, hey, we're going to kick it in this situation?
I mean, it was as simple as, if we kick it, it's game over. And that's a situation where it should be – it's most of the time we're going to make that. Obviously, we had some unfortunate things happening. I mean, I don't really know what happened or what went wrong. I just knew that got blocked. But, I mean, we got to the sideline, and Coach Stoop was like, nope, we're kicking it. I mean, there's no thought about it. And he was like, when we make it, it's game over. So, I mean, I was like, all right. Because obviously, if we go out there and
did he do the kicking motion? So Coach Stoops, funny whenever he wants to kick it because he does a little kick himself, as if he's like, Ruffalo, just in case you forgot how to do it, this is how you kick it.
No, he has little things like that he does all the time, though, that I've definitely noticed, but I did not see that last night.
And just to follow up with that, you know, it seems like there's great continuity, and we're only 2 weeks in with you, Stoops, and Cohen. How great is that? The support tree, knowing that no matter what, it feels like Kentucky's got three great options when it comes to making the right decision on offense. Like, as a Kentucky fan, it's been a long time since we're in a 3rd and 5+, and it's like, oh, we're going to get this. Like, there was a lot of times when there was like, okay, we're going to get this. Mm-hmm. And it ultimately made the decision of the game. So what is that like, having that continuity?
It's awesome. I mean, I came here, we wanted to have a balanced offense, and there's going to be a lot of games where we run it more than we throw it, and there's going to be some games where we throw it more than we run it. And like I said earlier, just kind of how the flow of the game goes and what's working for us and what's not. And if there's a day where they're locking us up in the passing game, it's good that we can fall back on a strong rushing game as well. So
very strong rushing game.
I think we're not even close to our potential yet with the rush game. Our offensive line, obviously we have great players up there, but just I think we haven't gotten to the point where we're fully effectively playing at their potential with just their continuity with these new run schemes that we had to put in this past year, and they're only going to get better throughout the season. I'm sure of that.
So at the end of the game last night, I think it was whenever it was, y'all were basically about to take a knee, I saw Stoops kind of run on the field and grab you, which I love when he inserts himself late because he's sprinting as fast as he possibly can. I assume he said something about, I thought the third down when you, I think they thought you were going to take the knee on third and then on fourth delay it a little bit, but you went ahead and did it on third, right?
So, second down. So he came up to me and
before you get into this, any Mark Stoops story is on.
Go.
Like,
yeah,
go,
no.
Go for it.
Oh yeah. So our this is I was very confused. So they had called a timeout. This was second down.
Yep.
And obviously the game clock is not running.
Right.
So there's no point in me waiting for the play clock to get down to 2 seconds. I should have just snapped it right away.
Right.
But I get to the sideline before the play, and Coach Stoops has said, take your time, take your time. I was like, he's like, wait it out, wait it out. what he meant by – so our he wanted me to what do what I did on the following play, which is get the snap, wait 5 seconds so that after the next kneel we would have game over. We call that slow victory. Slow victory is our – it's literally a call for us. Instead of victory, we go slow victory. Yeah. Everyone's a little more aggressive blocking, and I got to wait till there's any contact, so I have to go down because I know I have to kill 4 seconds for us to get enough time off the clock to win the game. So he was using this terminology. I was like, we're not on the same page here. I'm like, am I missing something? Like, I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, game clock's not moving. Why is he telling me to wait? So I waited till like 3 seconds, snapped it, and then he's all pissed off because he was like, I told you to wait to kill time, whatever. And I was like, oh, you like slow victory? Okay, like, because I didn't know. Like, I can't do the math off the top of my head that like we needed to kill 4 seconds here. But got it done on the next play. Thank God we had that next down to get it done.
Get used to it because I can tell you the amount of times he's run into a punt huddle and tried to tell me what to do and it's been so far off the mark is hilarious. Like, you're just like, wait, what? What are we
No,
are
he
we
was, he about? Told me the yeah, right he thing. Told you the he right, just, yeah, it's just we weren't on the same page. Yes, we weren't on the same page.
So funny.
That is one thing, like, over my years at UK that I noticed, and it sounds like he's continuing it, maybe with the not the right words, but he's really good in practice and in the game day of, like, practicing all the different situations you could possibly see. Like, I know even on special teams, for example, we would practice every week taking a safety on punt, which you probably will do maybe once in his whole career.
Maybe.
But you work on it every single week just in case you need it.
Yeah, I think that's definitely needed for any teams. We did the same thing at Penn State. Yep. My favorite call ever is called Geronimo because they just snap it over the punter's head.
Beep, beep, beep.
And one more question from last night's
which
game.
Which Cade did actually on his own accord last year against Mississippi State. He called his own Geronimo and just threw it over my head. I didn't even know that was the call. So that was great by Cade, actually.
All right. So Will, obviously we talked a lot about the great rushing game Kentucky has, how great you've played these first 2 weeks. And as Kentucky fans, we've kind of struggled with having a go-to receiver over the past few years. Just talk about how great they've been and the confidence they give you that you can just throw a dart in the corner and Wandell's going to go make a grab right there inside the 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. We got some really good players. Wandell, definitely, we have that chemistry right now, and we just got to continue to make it better throughout the season. I mean, there's still been a few plays where we just haven't been on the same page, whether like my location was off or he made a drop on a ball that he catches 99% of the time. And there's just a lot of things that we can still get better at, but it's great to still see us having these games connecting for, I think we had 200-yard games in a row, which is cool. And he's fast. I mean, he runs good routes. He sets his angles, and I trust him with the ball. I mean, my favorite ball I threw to him last night was on the 3rd and 12, far sideline, where I kind of just dropped it into him, and just his awareness of just like kind of, like possession catching, you like in Madden, you know, when you do that, for like just catching it and getting down and like just like hearing the catch. He's got a really good feel for things, and then
let's not forget about the slide inbounds.
That was great. That was very smart. Yeah.
How fired up was it, though, when, you know, they didn't call the targeting, but, you know, whether it should or should, we talked a lot on this show the other day about how Mark Stoops and the targeting call and just whatever, but how fired up did that make you guys, seeing him just get up from that hit and just, like, ready to go? He's ready.
That was great. I mean, he's a tough son of a gun. I mean, you saw that last week on his second touchdown when he ran over that dude, but he's going to take some hits at his size and at his position. I mean, just I need to give him better ball there and like get it up and down so he doesn't take that hit like next time. But he's a great player and he's tough and he'll get those yards lowering the shoulder and taking hits when necessary.
Really quickly, but this is going to be the last question about the game because we all kind of watched it ourselves and we know what happened. True or not true is a great little segment. We've only got one true or not true for you right now. True or not true, Mark Stoops put his fist through a whiteboard before the game yesterday.
Not through, so not true. So
not strong enough.
Not strong enough.
But it was great. We had a – we watch – so this is funny, actually. Before we go out to get on the bus to go to the game, we do a little thing where, like, every position coach has one of his players stands up, and he asks them a question about the game plan and, like, what are we doing in this situation. And I think, like, last week we did – every single position coach did it. So this week we start with defense and we did D-line first and then linebackers and then DBs. And then before we can even get to offense, Stoops just punches this whiteboard behind him, falls down.
For those of you listening, you obviously can't see this. Will did the biggest roundhouse swing of all time.
I was going to say, did you see him off in the corner afterwards, like shaking his hand? He's like,
no, but it was, he was like, he didn't even let the offense get theirs done. He was just so fired up. He did that, and then we started. We watched a little pump up clip.
Was he quick with his hands? Like, do you reckon he'd put one on Floyd Mayweather, or would Floyd be on the other side of the ring before he even finishes the punch?
I don't know. I don't think Floyd wants to see him in the ring.
Wait, who wins? The Paul brothers or Mark Stoops?
It depends if there's been a PI call just before I get through there.
That is true.
Hey, so enough about the game. We got some kind of personal questions, if you're ready for them. We asked Chris this last week. We're going to try and ask each player. What's your motivation behind playing, and why do you love football?
It's got to be my family, and it's just got to be the sacrifices that they've made for me throughout my life and supporting me in anything that I do. I came from a football family. My dad played football. I grew up living next to my grandfather, who's now passed, who's probably my biggest just inspiration for anything, and is someone very near and dear to my heart every day and still is. And he was one to kind of teach me anything I wanted to in any sport. He played 3 sports at UMass, which is pretty crazy. Coached football at Yale, which is right down the road from where I lived in Connecticut, and just grew up in that atmosphere. And but I wasn't forced into playing football. It was just something that I loved and strived to kind of continue that tradition of my family. And since I loved the game, it just worked really well. And a bunch of other my family members played football, but it just came down to them supporting me in everything that I did. I grew up had a great childhood, just my parents sacrificing everything for everything that I did. And it's getting to the point now where I can possibly kind of make it all pay off and pay them back in the future at some point. So that's my goal. I mean, I want to play at the next level, and I want to make my family's life as comfortable as possible for my parents and future generations. And something that makes me go out there and just do my best every day.
Awesome. So speaking on that, Will, we were kind of doing some research on you. Your great-grandpa was an All-American at Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
As you just said, your grandpa was a 3-sport athlete at UMass, which I've never heard of somebody playing 3 sports in
crazy,
college.
Crazy, crazy,
I mean,
yeah.
You hear football and baseball sometimes, but 3 is insane. Then your mom was an All-American soccer player twice at Yale. How was it coming from a family like that of so much success? Maybe not pressure on you, but just knowing that that's kind of what's expected a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it was just great because everyone was such a competitor, and it gave me that competitive drive and just
the Christmas football things would have been fun.
Oh yeah. The Thanksgiving football games we'd have for sure.
Yeah,
I had all sisters though, so they would kind of get the rough end of the stick, right? A little roughhouse with them.
So but, that's the thing. We talked to Chris, and he said his uncle put on shoulder pads and just laid them out. Did you ever have any of that with any of your sisters?
Speaking of uncle, my mom's brother played football at Yale, and he was a running back. He's a big dude, and he'd roughhouse me a lot. That was probably the closest thing I got to it.
So he laid you out in the front yard too?
Yeah, sometimes for sure.
What's up with these uncles?
I think that's the key to playing on Kentucky's football team.
So him running over the linebacker last night was nothing compared to the uncle in the front yard.
When we get Coach Stoops on, we're going to have to ask what his brothers did to him when he grows up.
Oh, that's going to be a great question.
Oh, man.
So speaking of, we've got an inside source. You talked about kind of the competitiveness growing up with that family. We've reached out to some childhood friends of yours for some detailed information, and there was a story about you playing one-on-one basketball when you were younger. Would you like to tell your side of the story?
Are we going to be able to tell both sides here?
We'll just go with yours.
We'll give you his version after this.
All right. I think you're referring to my buddy Matt, who I met. I went to an all-boys Catholic school, so when I went to the school, it was kind of like started off having to make my whole new friend group, like new kids from different towns and everything. And this is funny. I was a quarterback, and I wanted to be the quarterback for our freshman high school team. And he was also the quarterback for his, eighth grade team or whatever. And I think he realized kind of pretty quickly that I was a lot better than him. And so he was like, oh, I'm going to play receiver, and I'm going to be good friends with this kid and try to at least make myself a good target of his. So then I think, we became good friends at the end of that year. Like, basketball was really a sport, though, so I went over his place, and I'm not even playing basketball at this point. And I was like, all right, let's play basketball. He's like, all right. And I end up just kicking his ass, like, 5 times in a row. And then it comes back, it's like a year later, and he's really only playing basketball right now. He now plays basketball at Manhattanville in New York in college. And he's focusing on playing basketball, and I'm focusing on playing football, obviously, and it's like – either junior or sophomore year, and get back to his house for the first time in a while. I'm like, all right, let's play one-on-one basketball again.
Yeah.
And beat his ass again. Just taking it to the hole. Just too much for him. And I think it took until, like, towards the end of our senior year where he finally beat me in one-on-one. I was like, all right, well, you're playing basketball in college now. You should be able to beat me in one-on-one.
So he said when you beat him, you walked into his house, sat down on his chair, and said, this is my house. Then the next day, removalists turned up to move his stuff out of his room, and your stuff had been delivered to the house. And it was just, you'd completely just taken over the house. And they actually, you actually are now sons of two families.
So the first part's true. It was funny. It was like game point, and I think I was like NBA range, and I literally just kind of like no-looked, threw it up, swished it, and then just walked in the house, like, give his mom a hug, sat down.
I hope that's all you did.
But yeah, that was funny, and still one family though.
Okay, Marvel, really quickly. Yeah. Big fan of Marvel. You got the Stark Industry cleats.
Yeah, they're so sick.
Big fan.
Yeah. I wish I could wear those for games. True Blue Customs. He's local around here, and he made some cleats for a few guys on the team. Wondell, the cleats that Wondell wore on game day, he made for him.
Okay.
But just with the logos I have on it, I was told by Pruitt that I can't wear them for games, which kind of stinks, but I wear them for warm-ups.
Yep.
And, but yeah, they're really, really cool.
What's your favorite Marvel movie, though? Do you have one? Have you seen the new one?
Yeah, Shang-Chi.
Yeah, yeah.
We actually saw it as a team last week. I'm a big fan of, like, just, like, martial arts and, like, hand-to-hand combat, like, fighting stuff. So that was really cool. And I thought the effects in it were really good, and the acting was pretty good, too. And I don't want to spoil anything, but, like, there was an addition of, like, one of my, like, low-key, like, favorite characters in the MCU, which is cool. But I think Infinity War is my favorite one. Next.
So you like it when the bad guy wins?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a great movie. I mean, you know that the ending's inevitable, what's going to happen in the next one, but that's just a great crossover. Guardians of the Galaxy is my favorite.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, but I can't wait for the next one to come out of those. Just, like, the soundtrack alone just makes me come back and watch those every time. Yeah. But those are so good.
Well, the soundtrack's obviously full of, like, classics and old stuff. Is that kind of, like, your music style? Do you like the 70s, 80s, or are you into, to, you know, what people's listening to now, like the Drakes, the Little Babies?
I listen to everything. I mean, I do listen to, like, to Drake and Lil Baby. Like, I was actually just listening to Drake's new album for the first time today. I can't believe I hadn't gotten around to it yet.
He's that laser focused.
Yeah. But I have a playlist on my phone called Star-Lord, and it's all those songs from those movies. And I was playing it in the locker room. Usually, like, pre-practice, we have like rap or like whatever on, and like there was one day I got there before anyone else, and I just put it on, and everyone's like, "What the hell?"
That's controversial. Yeah, that's controversial.
But some of the white boys on the team were rocking it. It was good.
What about Bieber?
I love Justin Bieber. He's great. I mean, I think any guy that says they don't like Justin Bieber is just jealous of him. But I think it stems from when I was a kid and everyone growing up, all the girls were so obsessed with Justin Bieber, and then you kind of have this hatred for him because they won't stop talking about him. And then when you mature and go back and realize that his music's really solid and he's a great dude.
That's very similar to the guys on the team at the moment with you.
What do you mean?
All the girls talk to one guy and they don't want – I mean, poor old Luke Fortner and Darian Kennard on O-line getting no love, and they're all just coming to you.
So speaking of O-line real quick.
Least favorite O-lineman.
Oh, no.
Least
don't
favorite.
Throw him under the bus.
Come on, you got to have one.
Yeah, I got to have one right now. I'm going to go with Eli because he stole that touchdown from Chris.
He stole his touchdown.
Yeah, it's fairly selfish of him.
Do you know that Eli actually rooms with Max?
Oh, really?
Not in the same room. But
obviously.
Got it.
I would hope not. Can you talk a little about – so there's a story about you kind of with Malone's and kind of an O-line thing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there's – ever since so obviously I wasn't named the starter until a few weeks before the season started, but I knew that there was a lot of – I'd seen a lot of things on social media. I think the first person I saw was Kenny Pickett, quarterback at Pitt. He got a deal with a local either like – hotel or like some sort of eatery or diner, a restaurant or something, and he made a deal, NIL deal, pretty much getting a free meal with his O-line once a week. And I thought that was such a good idea, and a lot of guys have done it since. I know Sean Clifford, my buddy at Penn State, is doing it with his O-line. And so when I got named the starter, I wanted to make sure that was a priority for me. And just recently, this past week, finally got on the phone with the owner of Malone's and trying to set up within this week or the next, starting to get a free meal with me in the O-line. at Malone's, which is awesome.
That'll be cool.
That's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. To be honest, I'm a little bit disappointed you also didn't put Pin It Deep podcast included.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. I would have liked a Stoop Steak every now and then.
Yeah. Well, that's, you should
I'll
negotiate.
Definitely be ordering that.
You should negotiate a dish after you because they got like the Tim Couch steak and the Calipari
what
chicken.
Would it be?
It's going to take a lot.
What would it be?
And would it involve a banana? I know.
It would not. Maybe I'd make a cocktail. Cocktail with a banana or something. I don't know. But
a banana cocktail?
I don't know. So they probably have those. banana pudding or something?
Yeah,
that would be good.
Yeah. Definitely not fire. Banana bread because apparently you just ate the banana.
Yeah. So we got to ask you about that, though. It obviously took off out of nowhere. You couldn't have predicted that. Do you actually like the banana stuff, or have you just embraced it? And I'm like, you know what? I'm just the dude who eats bananas and just rolling with it.
I'm just rolling with it at this point. I mean, I think people get a kick out of it, and it's good. It's good. I mean, people think it's funny, and it kind of just spontaneously happened, and I didn't think of much of it when I first posted it, and now that people have picked it up and it's gained traction, it's definitely something I'm going to ride as far as I can, you know.
We unfortunately never got to share a locker room, Will. But if we had of and had a shower together, you would have known as well that I'm a fan of keeping skin on things.
Wow.
So we're gonna get to
how long have you had that joke, Glenn?
He literally he's been waiting on it for a long time.
Oh my god.
For a long time. I don't even know if I'm gonna let it make the podcast. Wow.
We've got a few questions of skin or no skin.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
As in, would you eat this
would
with
you
the
eat
skin
this
or
with
no?
The skin or
that's
no skin.
Okay, let's do it.
I'll go first.
Yep.
Chicken.
Skin.
Skin on. Okay, I think that's a good answer.
If it's
good answer,
crispy skin, it. Oh, it's
crispy,
so good.
It's
I love
really
crispy
good with
chicken
that.
Chicken
Most
skin.
Of these are like that. They're pretty straightforward.
Okay. Kiwi.
No skin.
Good. Like
peaches.
That.
Skin.
Apple.
Skin.
Porcupine. The debate,
no skin.
The debate was interesting. Like he thought about it for a minute.
Well, so I was thinking if the quills count as the skin.
Yep.
It does, so no skin.
Pineapple.
No skin.
Humans.
Skin.
Skin on.
Ooh.
He wants a little tough bite on the way.
Yeah, I think if you cook it right, you could get some good texture on the outside for sure.
This dude's a maniac.
He took that in stride. For the listeners, we actually didn't prep him with any of these items, and to get a quick answer out of humans was pretty good.
Boy, the fact that he debated more about porcupine
than humans was quick.
It's almost as if he's been asked it before and thought about it.
The SEC linebackers and DBs are shaking in their boots right now.
Not sure what they eat in Connecticut. But,
Connecticut seems like a whole other place.
Best pizza in the world.
Hey, we got another one for the fans as well here from the Twitter, Justin Cox, which, again, just like Dick Gabriel, I'm a big fan of Cox.
We love Justin Cox.
Love some Cox. How loud?
Eli Cox, too. You room with Eli Cox?
Room with Eli Cox.
Big Cox guys.
Big Cox guys.
Big Cox podcast.
I'm not a big Cox guy, to be honest.
Jesus Christ.
How loud? He said, how loud did we sound on the field? And, like, how cool is BBN at the moment?
It was cool. It was cool. I think there were definitely some times on third down second down last night where we could have used a little more energy in the stands, I think.
Ooh,
but for third down.
A challenge.
Third down, they definitely showed up. I'd like to see just more continued energy. It's a lot to ask for sure.
No,
but,
it's not.
It's the sideline too. It wasn't even just the fans, but there was that time in the game where they definitely had the momentum, and we kind of let them have it. And just our sideline, we needed to get it up more. But like you said earlier, we were talking the blue white thing they did. That was sweet. I mean,
awesome.
You guys kept that going forever. Rattled them on third down for sure. The fourth quarter thing, that was cool with the lights.
I was going to say, they did lights. They didn't do the fingers.
Which I'm so happy about.
They were smart. They got Marcus McClinton up there. He didn't say, put your fours up.
Yes.
He said, let's do flashlights.
Yes.
So I think someone at UK is listening,
I'm still angry about
shout out.
Still
I did.
Angry.
I didn't hold up my fours, though. I did week one, but I didn't this time. But hold on. Missouri actually handled it for us because they didn't do four fingers. They did eight.
They
put up
two
fours.
I can't sure what was going
two
on.
Two fours. They did the eight. So
maybe they're doing per game.
Yeah, true.
Are you a four fingers guy? Like, do you like the tradition?
You know what the four finger is? At the start of the fourth?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of teams do that, though.
Right. But do you like that?
I think it's kind of
terrible
corny.
Tradition.
Corny, corny.
Thank
there
you.
We go.
Terrible tradition.
It's kind of like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, right. Like everyone knows it's the fourth quarter.
So you've obviously played in like a lot of cool environments. Have you seen any cool like before the fourth quarter traditions? Like my favorite one was at the Swamp.
Tom Petty.
Tom Petty yeah, won't back great. Down.
Yeah, that's awesome because they do the lights thing too.
Oh, it was so cool.
Yeah. What's your favorite tradition that you've been? And like maybe favorite, I mean, obviously you played in some great home games at Penn State.
Yeah.
A favorite, like kind of, obviously you're going to probably say the whiteout, but favorite maybe away game that you've played at and maybe their traditions.
Iowa. Okay. Iowa's insane.
Yeah. With the hospital?
So they started that a few years ago, yep. Which is automatically became like one of the coolest things in college football really cool. They did. This is a really funny story. So we played at Iowa my redshirt freshman year. I was a backup there. We were both ranked, I think. We ended up winning in a close game. And Iowa, the thing about Iowa's stands is they are maybe 5 to 10 feet away from the opposing bench. There's no space between the bench and where the stands start. And Iowa's genius. What they do is they place their most heinous and drunk fans right in that front row.
So smart. But,
and so these dudes were doing the tradition. I think it's after the first quarter where everyone waves to the kids in the cancer center, right?
Yeah.
And these assholes... have our backs turned to us while we're looking at their backs and have the middle finger behind them as they're waving these little kids at the whole team.
But with the hospital background?
Yeah. Like, this is not the time, dude. Come on.
Wow.
And but that's a cool tradition, and then they're also very loud there, and it's a great stadium. Ohio State's really loud, too, when I got to play there. That was cool. Yeah. But then, like you said, Whiteout is one of the best environments in all sports.
Besides BBN, awesome. Obviously nothing compares, right? Yeah. Hey, hold on. The touchdown celebration, week one,
mm-hmm.
from the interview.
Yeah.
Is that, okay.
Yeah.
So I got confused. I thought it was like the Joker on top of the stairs from the Joker movie.
Oh, no.
Because it's similar-ish, right?
Yeah-ish, I guess.
Okay. Have you got any more in the bag that you're going to bring out?
Yeah, I don't think – I think my thing this year, like, I don't know if I'll have a set celebration, but I'll probably go into each game thinking about, like, maybe a funny or, like, a good one that I'll do.
Okay.
What I tried to do was –
the DX suck it sign.
Actually, I don't want to spoil, but I'll do it another game maybe, but that'd be cool.
Could be cool.
There we go. But hey, but since we were talking about traditions earlier, can I get this off my chest? This is your all's first game. Well, Miles, you've been in the stands before. This is your first one. This is like your first big game at Kentucky, but you don't get to see this. I get so mad because the CATS chant, right? Mm-hmm. It's CATS, cats.
Yeah.
But every damn game before kickoff, the PA announcer, they'll do it. They'll do like CATS. Then they say CATS really fast. So it's like CATS, CATS, cats. And it's the most asinine thing ever. Huh. The look on your face is so dumb. It
makes no sense.
That's what I'm saying. But apparently they have done it every game for the last 5 years. I just need to get that off my
chest.
Get
rid of that.
Get it done.
Get rid of that.
We already got the four fingers out of there. We got it. That's got to go too.
Hey, we can get things done on this podcast.
We can.
It's not a problem at all.
What happened to the big blue drum though? Did they stop doing that?
See, when you brought up these things last week, it was actually funny because me and Miles looked at each other and we had no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, so players don't care. So maybe just get rid of those.
It's fine that players don't care.
Hey, here's a funny one. I don't know if they did it this game, Will. But did they do the what's it? Not the smoke, but the dry ice before the game when you ran out. Did you have to run through that?
So I was with the captain, so I didn't run out like that. Yeah. But
dude, that's the worst thing about being a captain, right?
Yeah. So this is funny though. We there was a flyover for the game, and we were going to be in the locker room for it. And I was like, well, I want to see the flyover. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So everyone's sitting in the locker room, kind of just waiting, and I kind of sneak out, and I think like DK and Austin were out there watching too, and we were able to see the flyover, which was cool. But before that, we were listening to the national anthem and standing there, and one of the dry ice canisters just like explodes next to us, almost like blew an eardrum next to me. I was like,
so
that could have been really bad.
Yeah,
it was scary. I mean, you could ask DK or Dot, but like, scared the hell out of us. That was crazy. But could have been a bad start,
dude. Seriously, okay, real funny and real quick. One time when they put the dry ice up, the guy in front of me just was so pumped up, and he ran out full steam and just ran straight into the goalpost. Like, just took him out, and I could not stop laughing.
Who was it?
They like literally after that game, they just did way less because I can't remember. It was like one of the walk-ons or something, which was so funny.
I appreciate you not throwing my name under the bus right there.
The worst part about being a captain, though, right, is, like, not getting to hear Mark Stoops' like, pre-game speech. Like, I didn't even realize that you have to go out, like, before the big, like, pump-up speech. It kind of sucks, right?
I mean, I think I was there for a little bit of the speech, but especially not being able to run out with the guys. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so cool. But, I mean, got to be sacrifices to be made when you're a captain.
No doubt. If you toss the coin at any stage or you get to choose, I don't know if you have yet, heads or tails?
Tails never fails.
Tails never fails.
You didn't fail for me at Missouri last year.
Tails
when I got
never
to do it.
Fails.
You've got some merch. You want to plug it real quick?
Yeah, so I have the website all done up. Have some merch on there. It'll be really cool. I'll be dropping. Levis7.com is where you're going to find any NIL branding opportunities as well as marketplace for my merchandise. So if you guys want to check that out, be much appreciated. I'm also going to be doing a set percentage of my profits will be donated to the Lexington Leadership Foundation, which is a really cool foundation in Lexington that helps out a lot of people in need in the area that I got in contact with. So really excited to start that with them, and excited to sell some merch, make
that's
a little
awesome.
Money.
I bought my Chris Rodriguez salute shirt yesterday.
Yeah, nice.
And he gets to see, like, who buys it somehow.
Your credit card information.
Yes, apparently. So I had some interesting charges to my credit card last night. but he got to see that, and he sent me a message and said, appreciate the love. I said, no problem. So we're going to have to get a Will Levis t-shirt too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one more thing. You talked about making money off your merch. One more thing before we get out of here. Stay-at-home dad. You had a tweet, I believe, not that long ago about what was the tweet?
It was in my bio.
Dream job is stay-at-home husband, right?
Yeah.
With a wife making six figures.
Yep. Hopefully on the higher
my
end of
only,
six figures.
Yeah, that was my only question, was why shoot so low? Why not go for seven or eight?
I mean, I don't want to be too – I'm already living the dream there. So, I mean, just want to live comfortably, you know?
I got you.
Smart man. What a smart man.
Good answer. Well, Will, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thanks for coming on with us.
Awesome. We love having you.
It's been awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys. Love to have you back.
And I'm looking forward to the celebrations. If we have any recommendations, we'll be sure to text those through to you. And we'd love to see one dedicated to the Pin It Deep podcast.
I'm open to all suggestions.
Yeah, we do need one for the Pin It Deep podcast. Nice. So. Thanks, Will. We appreciate you stopping by.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Thanks.
All right, guys. I don't know about you all, but and we talked about this last week. Having these guys in here is so cool. And Will just – he's – just him being in here, you can just tell this dude is legit.
Well, yeah, because he's so big.
He's huge. He's massive.
He's got QB1 energy for sure.
Yeah, he's got moxie.
The confused looks on our faces when he started getting into the play call, the change of routes, all that. That was just going straight over my head, but I love it. I'm hoping that him and the wide receivers understand what he's saying because I had no clue.
None.
Well, it's obviously, miscommunication's a thing, apparently, with the whole wait or slow victory. Why didn't Stoops just say slow victory?
I'm not sure.
Why was it, wait, just say slow victory?
Everyone knew what he meant.
Oh, true.
It was awesome to have Will, though, honestly. What an awesome guy. We're so, obviously, as BBN, is so thankful that he is our quarterback and just seems like a great dude as well as, obviously, a great player. And he's dealing at the moment, so we're loving to see it.
Yeah, and he puts so much confidence into being a Kentucky fan, too, because – I talked about this with you all a few times with some of my other friends that, like, it's been a long time when you have a quarterback where it's third and long or whatever, and, like, you're just like, we're going to get this.
Dude, and as well, I'm sorry to change the subject really fast, but one of my biggest hates is, like, when I hate good-looking quarterbacks. I hate them, man. Like, I wanted to hate him so bad, but he's a nice guy. But I was just like, dude, here's another good-looking quarterback. Like, piss off. Like, leave us alone.
I think it's really cool. I
mean, well, how are you friends with Sawyer?
He never played.
Serious takeaways that I had from him that I think are kind of connected. One, I thought it was cool that he hasn't been here very long, but a captain. Obviously, the team's rallying around him, a guy that they don't know super well yet, but leadership-wise. And then he mentioned his merchandise. Part of the proceeds are going to a local charity. Yep. I think the fact that he's embracing the Lexington community so quickly is really cool to see.
And you can just tell the command he has of a room even when he walks in. It's just like this guy is – he's got it. And you don't know what it is, but he's got it. And it's been a long time since we've had a quarterback like this in Kentucky. I think he's going to win a little ball.
He's got spunk.
He's going to win a lot of ball games. You're either born with it or you're not. Yeah.
And just quickly, though, Terry Wilson, my man, threw for 3 touchdowns and 390 yards yesterday.
Terry looks good.
390.
Where was that at? Just I mean, we know where it was.
So, let's not disrespect Terry too much. He was an awesome player. Maybe we just didn't quite have the offense going at that stage.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. Is there a fight in this Browns-Chiefs game?
I'm not sure, but it's just started.
Yeah, so we're doing this on top of KS Bar. It's the first NFL Sunday. But yeah, you know, it's great having these guests on. Chris last week.
Awesome.
Luke the first week, and now Will.
Hey, just quickly as well, Chris came on, should have had 5 touchdowns,
yep.
over 200 yards.
Yep.
Wills come on, I'm guessing against Chattanooga, probably 5 touchdowns, yeah. probably 480 million yards.
Yeah.
Come on the podcast if you want to play a good game the next week.
I just want to say this, too.
We've possibly had 2 Heisman candidates on the show in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, for sure. And we could probably have 3 with Wandell.
Yep.
I just want to say this, though. Did we make Chris stop doing the – because I didn't see him do the double tap salute.
He did it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He got it out of the way, and he got bored of it.
So,
Chris, if you're listening, we're going to need that maybe a few more times.
Yep.
Like, I feel like that would have really gotten the crowd going.
I did the salute in the suite. Yeah.
I did it a few times, and I felt like a little heartbroken that he didn't do it when I did it. I was like, man, like this is kind of embarrassing. But, you know, like I said, it's just great having these guys on. And Stoops even talked about us this week.
Yes.
He talked about it in talked about it in a press conference. Here's the clip.
You know, I got to listen to this podcast. So you know, I'm gonna have a talk with Max. You know, there's some things that are between he and I. You know, and he's sharing to the world, but I think he's a bit of a storyteller. You know, so I'm gonna have a talk with him. I'm going to jump on his podcast and straighten him out a little bit.
There's not many times in your life, and there's a movie about the pursuit of it. There's not many times in your life where you can sit back in your chair and just say, I'm happy. I've reached a moment of contentment and happiness. Coach Stoops calling out our podcast and knowing what our podcast was is one of the happiest moments, if not the happiest moment in my life. And I think I glorified in my own aura and glow for the rest of the day when I found out about it. It was awesome. He then decided to hit me up as well with some text saying, get me on.
I was going to say, I've heard he's just blown you up.
Blown me up.
Had to change your number too.
I've had to change my number. He's been calling me every hour of the day. He called me at 2 a.m. last night again. Max, please get me on. He tried to get through to me through Luke Fortner. Apparently during practice, he stopped practice and said, Luke, I need to get on the show. Yep. Who cares about the plays this week?
Yep.
Get me on. These guys don't know what's coming for them. So we promise fans we're going to get him on.
It's
very
definitely going to happen. Like, it's going to happen.
He sounds like he wants to be part of the pod.
Yeah, he sounds like he wants to come in today.
Yes.
But we got a lot of ball left to play, so we're not going to get him.
He's not high on our priority. Sorry, Coach Stoops.
He said something about, I think, there's some stories that they've been telling, and I've got some stories on them. I'm really interested to see what those are.
Very interested. So we're thinking in the next couple of weeks – we'll get Coach Stoops on, but he'll come on our time. We ain't making time for him.
We've got it's a pretty exclusive club to get it on the Pennant Deep podcast. And one person who'll never see it, though, I mean, after this week on Twitter, just calling us out, is Nick Roush.
Okay. Here's the thing, right? Nick Roush, if you're listening, which you will be, because you like to obviously take a lot of things away from a quality podcast, see if you can put it into yours, which is struggling at best is a nice way to put it.
It's moving along, but it's not doing Pennant Deep numbers.
It's about as that podcast.
Yeah, a turtle moves. Doesn't mean it's moving fast.
That podcast has about as many listeners as he has hair on his head.
Not many.
And Nick, it was funny that you posted that thing on Twitter yesterday about the Pennant Deep groupies. Post the picture where you asked me if you could take a selfie with me because you know, meeting you're obviously your biggest fan and you're I guess your motivation to go into podcasting yourself. So post that one for us. We're not big fans of Nick Roush's podcast. We're not big fans of Nick Roush in general. So,
but we'll happily, like, we'll bond that bridge, so to speak, with Nick Roush if he just recognizes what he's got here.
Recognize it. But for the pinheads, feel free to unfollow him. Don't listen to the podcast.
Well,
that's fine.
I mean, you could hold on now. I am a company man. You can follow Nick Roush on Twitter. Like, just make sure you know, like, if things really go south, which podcast you're aligning with, and it's obvious that it's going to be Pennant Deep.
No doubt.
And yeah, but I guess Nick was just doing what he had to do this week. He was trying to tweet at us, start beef with us.
Being a boy.
Yeah,
He did what he wanted to do
because he's trying to get some of our listeners back.
Yeah.
And it's just sometimes it's just not going to happen. But we do want to highlight some men who are doing what they had to do.
Have to do, yep.
Not Come what on. They want to do.
Yep.
So let me get this segment right. This is the boys do what they want to do, men do what they have
can't
to do.
Just pull
segment.
The sheets you up in the
cannot
morning.
Cannot do it.
You cannot.
So Max, who's your first nominee for Man of the Week?
I think he comes up every week. And it's the man himself.
It's Stoops.
The man
again.
Himself again.
Unreal.
But it's great because he continues to follow his own mantra, and I love it. And it's, you know, you lead from the front. If you're going to say something, your actions better back it up.
Big men lead the way.
And he preaches it, and he does it. I saw on the sideline, hilarious, him and Coach White just get into one of the biggest yelling matches of all time about something. It was obviously a bad defensive play call or something. But what was hilarious is they obviously talk through the headsets like we do here on the show. And unlike them, we face each other, you know, talk. We don't turn our backs on each other.
We have nice, normal conversation. And we're not screaming our heads off.
Correct. Him and Brad White had a screaming match about 2 to 3 yards away from each other, but facing the other way. And I just thought that was so funny, doing what he has to do, just starting yelling matches with some guy that he could have turned around and speak to, but no, let's not face each other, let's just yell at each other. That's my man of the week right there, Coach Stoops, yet again.
Yet again. Is he going to win it every week?
Maybe.
So I've got a competing nominee, two actually, two. Sadly, one is also Coach Stoops, so he'll be nominated twice, but you can choose which one was the better, him being a man. So as I sat in the stands, that we were coming out of a timeout, I think, and UK actually had the ball on offense. Noise was getting really loud. They had some music playing in the stands. Yeah, fans were going nuts. Clearly the offense didn't want it to be loud. I don't know how Stoops could have possibly told everyone, please be quiet. So in his own way, he starts jumping and doing like his hands up and down, like he's waddling in the air, trying to quiet the fans down to get their attention. And it ended up working. So I think thinking he had no microphone, that was his only chance there.
Well, we do need to talk about that, though, because – and it's been kind of talked about on KSR radio a time or two, but whatever they're doing at the production crew at Kentucky football games, and this is your first time experiencing it, Max, is just wild to me. Before like a big third down or something, or a quarter change or a big timeout, like a big series coming up, they could play like – and they did a good job with Grove Street in the fourth quarter
last night.
Props to them on that. But like we don't even play music anymore at breaks. Like we just bring out like – you know, obviously shout out the swim team, volleyball team. Like, we love them, go Cats. But it's at the same time, it's like, we got to get going. Like,
yes, but we're not also going to shy away from them maybe bringing out the Pin It Deep podcast members
at a break.
Because that would be awesome, because I'd love to hear the cheers for myself and probably not you two.
Yeah, definitely just for you, because me and Miles get no respect. It's going to be like Max and who are these two other dudes?
Yes, but for everyone listening very quickly, please, as much as exciting as our offense is, please be quiet during the offense. Make as much noise as you want on defense.
And that's something we'll even talk about in the interview, and I noticed it in the stands too. Like, second down was still – like, it was getting there.
Yeah.
But, like, if we could start doing that on second down – like, I did not sit my ass at home for over a year to come back and have people sit on their ass again.
Yep.
Like, we've
get
done
up.
That. Let's get up and get loud. I mean, we don't have to do it for Chattanooga, but like
we could.
I mean, surely to God we don't have to. I mean, it's a noon game.
God.
It's a noon game. So I mean, if you want to be a leisure Saturday, go for it. But like, when LSU comes to town and Florida comes to town, and like, get crazy.
Who's your other nomination?
Oh,
who you got for us? You don't even remember, do you?
No, I do. I do actually.
There you
so,
go.
It's God.
Whoa!
Wow.
Which this will be an all-time
heavyweight
matchup.
He definitely does what he has to do most of the time.
Yep. Is God a man?
So we'll just
not Chris Godwin, God himself.
God himself.
Wow.
The
big
man
upstairs.
I don't know what they've done to anger him, but Florida State has pissed him off. So week one, the Notre Dame Catholics roll in and sneak out of there with a win.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly had a little help from him. And week two, Jacksonville State rolls into town. I would think not as quite as talented. Hail Mary. They went on the Hail Mary.
I just want to say this. Jacksonville State got smoked by UAB week one.
Yep.
And Georgia smoked UAB.
It shows that Florida State and Notre Dame just aren't good.
Yeah.
Well, Notre Dame almost lost to Toledo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A quick question. I don't know if you've watched this before. If we did do the whole Pin It Deep guys on the field for like a halftime thing, do you think if they introduced us like one at a time, like Brent first, then me, and then you, it would be like the 96 Bulls introduction, like you've got the lower level guys and then Michael Jordan comes out at the end type deal? Just like everyone's honestly golf clapping and then they just take their shirts off and lose their mind at the end?
Lots of shirts off.
Well, yeah, but I feel bad, and that's a close to home thing because they weren't clapping when Luke Longley came out, and Luke Longley is from Perth, Australia. He was the starting center on that team. So, there should have been more cheers for Perth, Australia in that team.
I didn't know that stat.
There you go. You got a man for us, Brent?
I do have a man of the week, and we already kind of talked about Notre Dame earlier, but whoever heads up the security at Notre Dame is doing what they've got to do at this point. So if you've been living under a rock, you don't know. But Brian Kelly, after the Florida State games, said the quote, I'm paraphrasing here, that he believes in execution as a far, like executing plays, and he's like, maybe my team needs to be executed.
Yep.
After a win.
And the funny thing about that is Coach Stoops is such a competitor that I reckon if Brian Kelly killed half his team, Stoops would say, I can beat that. I can kill more. I can execute more of my players. So I just hope he doesn't do that because Stoops is a competitive guy.
Well, I just want to see. Didn't Notre Dame lose last night?
No, they beat Toledo just.
They barely won.
Yeah.
Oh. I was because I think clearly.
Oh, that's right, because we were watching a tailgate.
Yep.
And I was like, if Toledo
gets in between
here.
The Wild documentary.
Well, yeah. And the one without the chicken wings in it, I think, too.
That was, it did not have chicken wings. If we watched Toledo, like, we might have just watched a mass murder on television.
Hypothetically, if you were thinking of things, what's the worst thing a coach could say that would surely get him fired? At the top of the list would be, I want my team killed. And that's what he said. And then he coached the next week.
We're bringing in his offensive coordinator. Probably a good one.
Yep.
I'll cut that out.
Please do. It's fine. Please, no, Tom, we can't leave that.
Perfectly fine by me. Oh, we're starting Aaron Hernandez at tight end. Yep. Leave that in. Thank you, teacher. One last nomination really quick, and I think we all enjoyed this, and I love these kind of advertisements and NIL deals that are coming out. I will no longer say Neil for those that are listening, so you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. I forgot about this.
Bully Marquand McCall.
Oh, man.
On top of the – what would you even – like the ride-on lawnmower?
Zero-turn ride-on lawnmower for what Bully.
That's one of the greatest I've ever seen.
We got to get him on the show.
I'd like to see him mow a full yard in it. See him turning. Well, it's a zero turn, but just to see him just going to town with the mower would be good.
I'd like to see him cut the turf. I mean, you obviously don't cut turf.
Don't need to cut it.
If he wants to be part of the greenskeeping staff at Kentucky football, I'm sure there's a job for him there. I see them all the time repainting the lines and mowing the turf. I'd love to see him out there on it.
I was going to say, like, there were some tailgate spots yesterday that could have had some work done by Bully, so maybe we can get him out there.
There's no doubt.
I know we've got a good plan for the LSU week to go to Keeneland. For the opening weekend, I think the LSU, that Friday's opening day.
Yep.
It would be good if, as we went in, outfits are looking good, everybody's happy, you know you're going to win every bet you have that day, and before the first race, you just see mowing the turf in the middle of the track.
That would be good. I'd appreciate that.
But, yeah, those are our Men of the Week nominees, and we do have an entry, our first entry to win the
Sorry. So you're about to talk about the balls, right? The retweet.
I'm about to talk about balls, yes.
Yes. So, okay. For the people listening, and for the one rude individual that took it upon themselves to say, I'm going to retweet this so I can win the imaginary ball, as if they're not real. Firstly, you ain't winning. Secondly, that's not a good way to win this competition, nope. To call it an imaginary ball. I'm looking at them right now. I can see C-Rod.
2-4.
2-4. I can see Will Levis 7.
Quality Nike balls, too.
Two of them. Two good-looking balls.
Two good-looking balls.
Those are two good-looking balls. Awesome, very polished.
Balls. Yep, very polished balls.
Very clean, very smooth.
Yep. And we've got them there. So if you want to win this, we're serious. Retweet out every single time we put something about the podcast coming out with the podcast link. Please retweet that for us. You will go into the running each week. We'll have one individual winner. And at the end of the season, those 13, 15, however many people it's going to be.
We're going to draw out of Mark Stoops' hats.
Will be drawn out of – I thought you said you were going to pluck one of Mark Stoops' hairs out.
No.
That wouldn't leave him with many left.
The man has to wear a lot of hats.
Wouldn't leave him with many left. But we're going to pull it out of a hat live on the show that week, and you will win the football signed by all the guests, which, as we said, Mark Stoops will be one of those people, along with Will Levis, Chris Rodriguez, Luke Fortner, and many others by the end of the season.
And we still haven't decided if we're going to do it ourselves. I don't.
Yeah, that'll be up to the discretion of the winner.
That is true. Yeah, don't want to devalue the ball, which hopefully you wouldn't resell it anyways because you are a pinhead. But we do have this week's entry. It is at Connor J. Caldwell on Twitter. He is apparently from Holiday, Florida, so that might be a nice little trip for us to take. Ooh, if he wins.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
We're not shipping it either. Hand delivery.
No, we've got to,
hand delivery.
On the doorstep. We can bring up, I think that's a good idea.
And let's not
if you're in the state, I'll throw out this little olive branch. If you're in the state and you win, we're happy to get you on the podcast for 3 to 5 minutes just to talk about what you want to talk about for a couple minutes.
Whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah. I was going to give him a whole episode. Just let him go for an hour.
Just give them the mic.
Yep. Turn them loose.
Yeah, but before we get out of here, of course, Kentucky plays Chattanooga this week. I mean, let's
irrelevant.
Be honest. It's not irrelevant because, I mean, there's a lot of SEC teams that have struggled, so let's not – as a long-suffering Kentucky football fan.
If we lose, we're canceling the podcast.
I mean,
let's not say that. I like this. I like doing this. It's just fun.
It is, but like, how fun will it be talking to Mark Stoops after he's lost Chattanooga?
It actually would be interesting. Not fun, but
we get into a prediction.
But yeah, we're going to get into some predictions. I don't even think we need to, like.
We don't need to go through.
Kentucky's probably going to win by a lot.
All right, here's two predictions: score, and second prediction. When does Will Levis come out of the game?
All right, let's do that one. All right, Max, you go first.
Oh, wow, put me on the spot. I say we win 56-0. And I say Will comes out after the first drive of the second quarter when we're up 28-0.
Yo, yep. First drive of the second quarter?
Yep. I mean, what, do you think they're going to drive it all on us? No.
I don't think I've ever seen it in history where a quarterback hasn't made it out of the first half.
No. Well, we're up 28-0. There's no need for him to play anymore.
Well, I mean, we were up. We should have been up 28-0.
The only reason why he would continue to play is that the equipment staff at Kentucky still haven't developed a helmet big enough to fit on Bo Allen's head.
True.
One of the biggest heads of all time. Saw it in person on the field yesterday. Definitely blocking out the sun still. That night game wasn't actually a night game. We actually played that at midday yesterday. He was just in the way. One of the largest domes of all time.
Max, or Miles, sorry.
I'll go.
Lance.
Miles Hunter.
Miles Hunter.
Miles Bridges.
Let's go.
Miles Teller.
That guy.
You said Lance. Speaking of, we'll give Lance a quick shout-out. So Lance is my younger brother, and we were watching football before we went to the tailgate yesterday.
Great gumbo.
Cooked a great pot of gumbo for us. So,
unreal.
Lance, if
thank
you're
you,
listening,
Lance.
I don't think he listens to this yet. He's not really supportive.
Nope.
But
yeah, nope.
Appreciate your gumbo, Lance. Always appreciate that. Thanks.
Thanks.
It saved him for the post game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would say score. I'll go 38-7 again, just to keep the trend with last week. And yet again, anyone that wants to give me a Capri Sun. Yeah, if you want to give me a free Capri Sun or any other beverage, if I nail that. And then I'll say Will gets one drive in the second half, and then he's done.
Again? Oh, second half. I thought you said second half.
Oh, I was about to say. You just copied me.
No. I was about to be like,
no plagiarism on here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
what's the score when he comes out?
24-0.
Okay.
I don't know. I think, I mean, Kentucky's going to win big. It's going to be like probably what? Like, I'm going to go 48. I'm going to go 48-13. Will Levis finishes the third quarter. Or, no, hold on. He's going to go until he has 399 passing yards. That's when it is. I don't know when it'll be. It could be first quarter. It could be fourth. That's his cutoff is right then and there.
If the sideline reporters said to Mark Stoops before the game against Chattanooga that if Will Levis gets 100 yards, would you – eat a banana or with a peel on? You think he'd pull him before the 100 yards?
Wouldn't start him.
Depends on who we play.
He wouldn't play him. He wouldn't put
he's,
him
he's
in.
A, look, he's with. A man doing what he has to do. But, you know, like I said, it was great having Will in here. I love coming in here and doing these every week for you guys. Coming in here with Max and Miles has been an absolute blast, and we're going to keep it going. The NFL season has kicked off, so I think we're going to go downstairs and watch some ball. But,
yep.
Absolutely great having Will on. Kentucky versus Chattanooga next week. Kentucky's 2-0, probably ranked. Season's looking good, and I'm looking forward to more weeks and more episodes. But
yep.
That's been it for this edition of the Ten and Deep.
Continue to retweet us.
Please.
To win the imaginary bowl.
The imaginary, quote. And always download, subscribe, and start leaving reviews on Apple if you want to.
Yep.
Good
comment
ones,
away.
Please. Comment away.
All feedback will be ignored.
but, yeah, this has been another edition of Pin It Deep. For Max and Miles, I'm Brent. Thanks for listening. Go Cats.
Go Cats. Go Cats. Thanks.
Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. She said, do you come from a land?